The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As soon as Jesus and the disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. Jesus came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." Jesus answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went through Galilee proclaiming the message. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the fifth week in a row that we have heard the Gospel of Mark in the first chapter, proclaiming the work of God and in Christ's actions in the world. If we were in the books of Gospels of Matthew or Luke, Jesus isn't even born yet by the first chapter. But Mark, as we know, wastes no time and immediately jumps into ministry. And so since the baptism of our Lord on the first Sunday of January, all the way through to now, we see Jesus going and engaging the people and connecting, calling disciples by name in Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Gathering last week in the synagogue as we heard a wonderful sermon from Pastor McKinney at Christ Beloved about casting out demons. And picking up where we find ourselves today, as those four disciples and Jesus leave the synagogue and decide to head over to Simon Peter and Andrew's house. But as they arrive, they learn that Simon Peter's mother-in-law is sick. And Jesus quickly goes upstairs and tends to her, releasing her of her fever and helping bring her back to health. This simple healing miracle of a one-on-one encounter between Jesus and Simon Peter's mother-in-law is a reminder of how God is at work in Christ in ways that were beyond imagination for the people of the time. Now, what I tend to do when I find a gospel text is to grab on to a particular passage or a few words or a command of Jesus and to draw that out into something that helps us to live our lives as God's people. But I think it's what's in between that matters more today. As I've been reading this gospel this week, I've been thinking about the set of circumstances here that Jesus arrives at the house, learns of the mother-in-law's illness, goes upstairs, treats her, and she's at a point where right away she can start to give thanks in response in her serving. And then all of a sudden, they brought everyone. That evening at sunset, all who were sick or possessed demons showed up. And then that phrase that follows, that I emphasized a little bit more as I read the gospel today, and the whole city was gathered around the door. I went and looked at that Greek word for gathered, and it was almost more of an understanding of bringing together, calling the assembly, drawing everybody out, as if it was an event that was happening and everyone was invited. And that evening, the whole city was gathered at the door. We're talking about Capernaum here. We're talking about a city of that age that was big enough to have its own synagogue. And in my research this week, most biblical scholars were saying it was somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 people who lived in this city. And the whole city was at the doorstep. You imagine Jesus opening the door and looking out? Can you imagine what Peter and Andrew and James and John must have thought as they peered out? But something happened. Something happened in between the words of our text that matters just as much as what happens in this text. We went from a place where within the confines of one home, Jesus heals one woman, to all of the sudden, the whole neighborhood, the whole city knowing and showing up to see what's happening. You see, what's missing there in between those verses, but what I'm so captivated by this week is how did we go from just one person being healed, one household experience, to the whole town showing up at the house? Something had to happen. And we know what happens. The Spirit was at work, and the Word of God was spreading fast. God's almighty Word was moving. Now we hear that the fastest thing in all of creation is not sound or light, but rather gossip. And I think that this energy, this story, was traveling at that speed. That everybody knew that something was wrong, that she was sick, and now all of a sudden she was back to a place where she was ready to serve, to ready to respond to Jesus' gift of healing by being able to give back. And all of a sudden, the whole community hears about this. And so what happens between when Jesus arrives at the house and that evening at sunset, when the whole darn town is there, is what I want to ponder today. What happens is the story starts to be told. The story starts to be shared as one person says to another, "Hey, did you hear what happened to Simon Peter's mother-in-law? We don't even have a name for her." "No, what? She had that fever, remember? She's healed. She's up and working now." "Oh, really?" And that next conversation, and that next conversation. And so all of a sudden, all the people who are ill or dealing with demons or all those things in their lives that they struggle with are starting to hear that something's happening, that Jesus is in town. And they heard what happened in the synagogue with the demon that we heard last week. And now it's being confirmed by what Jesus did with Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Something's happening. This guy who's in town is not just another guy. And so that buzz begins to spread faster and faster throughout town. So by that evening, there's over 1,000 people, maybe more, standing on that doorstep. That buzz spreads because that story is told. And that, my friends, the people who we don't know by name, those who go on to carry the story, may be the role that we play in all of this. Maybe we have witnessed God's love of healing in our lives. Maybe physical. Maybe emotional. Maybe we've seen healing in a relationship. And when that happens, we want to talk about it. We want to share that. We want to give thanks. But as that adage goes, if you get bad service at a restaurant, you tell 10 people. And if you like it, you might tell one. Are we likely to do the same with the gospel as well? Are we reluctant to share the good news of Christ Jesus because it's not salacious and it won't land on the front headlines? I sometimes think that's true. We find ourselves comfortable by knowing God's promise, but reluctant to share. And unfortunately, that is a moniker, a stereotype that we as Lutherans have earned. The awful joke that I still think is worth telling, no matter how bad it is what do you get when you cross a Jehovah's Witness and a Lutheran? Someone who knocks on your door but then doesn't say anything. We as Lutherans have rightfully earned that unfortunate stereotype of not sharing the story very well. We love to tell it here, and we do that in word and in music and in all the ways that God's grace are seen. But going out into the world? No, that's reserved for other people. People who go to those churches or people who read the Bible a little bit differently than we might. And because the world is sometimes condemning of the story, we often find ourselves unwilling to tell it. But the story needs to be told. Because the whole community needs to be at the doorstep of Jesus. And so we know the need to tell the story. We sometimes are afraid to, though. You know, for most of this week, I was in Durham with 9 of Terry and Robin's friends as we sat in those uncomfortable hospital seats during procedures and waiting. And one of the things that I saw happen is how often we would engage any one of the 9 in the cafeteria or at the nurse's desk or with people who were walking by with others who wanted to know how this motley crew had gotten together in the center of Duke University's surgery waiting room. And when they heard that story, they shared it with others. And people came up to me and said, "Are you with the church transplant?" And I said, "I guess so." And we know that's just one story of how God is at work in the world and how the healing power of Christ is made known in so many powerful ways. But all of us have that privilege of telling the story. All of us have that responsibility to find those in life who deal with demons and sickness and all the things that burden us in daily lives and invite them into a life of place where the story can be told and God's word can be shared and a promise that is bigger than anything we can attain here on earth can be given. I would have loved today if this could have tied into the welcoming of new members in a few moments. And we'll do that next week with the same love and welcome spirit that we hope to today. But you know what that's an example of for those 9 families? The gift of telling the story. None of those 9 households told me they showed up at Augsburg because we had some really glossy advertising. They told me they showed up because they heard the story, because they were invited, because someone they knew, maybe family, maybe friend, invited them to connect with this community and see how God is at work in it. And as God gathers us together and we start to share the story, we realize that there's so much more to be told. We realize that this past weekend, as our council gathered for our annual retreat, and we saw those places where the story isn't being shared yet, the generation gaps, and the places where we struggle to proclaim God's word to everyone. And we looked at that with a sense of renewed ambition on making sure that we do indeed try to share God's story with everyone. Because we know what Jesus does beforehand and we know what Jesus does afterwards, it is our participation in this story that helps to connect that story in the middle. All of us are invited to do that. Rather, all of us are called to do that, to go out and share the story in the world. The story of a loving God who heals mother-in-laws, who heals demons, who heals everyone who shows up at the doorstep. And then to realize that the work isn't done there. There's this moment where after all of that, Jesus sneaks out the next morning before everyone else is probably awake. And they come to him and say, "Lord, we've been searching for you. Where did you go?" Jesus gives himself a moment to reset because he knows what's about to happen next. He answered, "Let us go into neighboring towns so that I might proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do." And they went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message and casting out demons. You know what we're called to do? The exact same thing. To go into those neighboring places that aren't maybe the regular parts of our lives, that we aren't as comfortable as with, that we might not fit into as well, and to share that same story. To reflect back on what Anna wrote, read just a moment ago, that the words of the Apostle Paul wrote, that sometimes we need to change who we are to recognize who we're called to tell the story to be flexible in this world, to be able to proclaim the story to those who need to hear it, and to know that the way that I might share the story at Salem Town in the nursing home might not be the same way that I share it with a guest down in the shelter, but that Paul calls us as part of our Christian love to be flexible in how we share the story and to be ready to go and share it wherever we encounter. So as we look at this gospel text today, the amazing thing that happens is that in the midst, in between the words, God's work is still active and God's almighty word is spreading. And so in between when we tell the story, in between now and next Sunday, in between these times when we gather together to hear and lift up the story, may we live out that same space that is in between those two sentences. To find a way to share that story in our lives so that next week more folks are at the doorstep and that more might come to know the healing power of God and that more might come to know the promise of God's grace. May God's almighty word be active in you this week. Thanks be to God. Amen.